Today, like every week, we gather to worship God. We do so publicly, not in secret. We worship openly, fully, and freely. But it's a freedom born of sacrifice. Today, as free people, as free Christians, we honor those sacrifices, the ones made by the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. Along with a grateful nation, we, a grateful church, salute the sacrifices of the men and women who have served and who have died. And we extend our gratitude to the families that bear the loss of those sacrifices every day. And regardless of how our culture may shift, change, or even challenge our right to worship, we will continue to worship. We will continue to praise. We will continue to gather and proclaim. To cower and diminish our worship in the face of a hostile world would be to dishonor the sacrifices and the soldiers we remember today. And that is something we will never do. Not only because our Lord is worthy, but so too is the legacy of those who have preserved our most precious freedom. To all those who've served, from all of us who worship, we honor you and we thank you.
Well, hey, so what we're going to do here is we're going to look at the passage that that video came from, and that passage is in Luke chapter 12. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. But before we do that, kind of want to give you a little bit of clue on what are we doing the next 3 weeks. Tony talked about how we're going to have a family service the next 3 weeks, and your children are a part of the service. And we want to, hey, youngsters, we want you to get something from this. So when I teach and when Don teaches, we're going to have stuff specifically where we look at you and want you to really tune in. May even at some point, not tonight, but next week, I'll probably have a little bit of question and answer, or I'll ask the questions and you'll have the answers though, right? And we'll interact a little bit. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about something called stewardship. And stewardship is basically, what do we do with what God has given us? How do we use what God has given us? And so tonight we're going to talk about time. How do we use the time here on earth that God has given us? Next week we'll talk about the talents that God has given us and how do we use the different talents and abilities that God gives us. And then the third week, Don will teach and he will talk to us about how do we use our treasure? How do we use our money? How is the best way for us to use the money that God has given us? And so that's what we're going to do for the next 3 weeks. We'll talk about those three things. Some of you are going, I've heard this before. Hey, that's all right. So have I. And I tell you what, every time I go through it, there's something good that comes from this, okay? And really, parents, hopefully what you do during this process is your kids are in the room. Look for points where you go, I'd really like to talk with them tonight about that or tomorrow morning at breakfast. Whatever the case may be, look for those places where you go, oh, I want to talk to my kids about this. They were there. They were hopefully somewhat listening. Let's talk about it again. So I really want to do that with you. And grandparents, feel free to do that with your grandchildren too. Maybe they're in the room. But that's what we're going to do. Now, as we move into this weekend is Memorial Day weekend, and I loved that video talking about the sacrifices that our veterans offer. My grandfather was a veteran of the Navy. My great-grandfather into the Navy as well. If you guys know the Almeidas, you know, Trent Almeida is dealing with leukemia, and his brother Joe is in the military, and he is back for a little bit of time to see Trent graduate. That graduation happened today. Thank God Trent's numbers were up, and he was able to walk and be a part of the graduation ceremony, which was really cool. But it was interesting. I sat down with Joe one night before he left. It was clear that there was just some things he wanted to talk about. And I was able to talk with him about those things, but we don't realize sometimes the sacrifices in a situation like that, that a brother gives up to be apart from his brother as he deals with cancer. Our veterans and the people that are in the military now are people we should really strive to honor and look up to and speak to them this weekend in particular, but always about how much we appreciate what they do for us. And so I guess that's a little bit of a side note, but really honor those people in your lives that serve in the military. So what we're going to talk about here, though, is the stewardship of time, okay? And how do we use the time that God has given us? And so let's dig into this a little bit. We'll look at verse 22 of chapter 12 of Luke. We'll start there. And it says that that's Jesus, said to his disciples, "For this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, or nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you by worrying could add a single hour to his lifespan? If you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters?" So really what he's getting into is he's talking to us about worry, right? Who in here struggles with worry? You ever have something you worry about, right? We have those things that crop up in our lives that cause us to worry. For some people, it's money. For some people, it's what their children are doing. For some people, it's their job. For some people, the list goes on and on, right? You could probably, if you stopped right now, you could put together a list of the things that you go, this is the one that gets me, right? We all know the things that cause us to lose a little bit of sleep and worry. And what God is telling us here in this passage is that we don't need to worry. We don't need to have worry about, in particular, what he's talking to these people about is you don't need to worry about your daily needs. Now, as a rich American who has never wondered where their next meal is coming from, you're like, yeah, why would I worry about my daily needs, right? Has anyone ever in this room had a point in their life, I know I have not, where I wondered, gosh, I don't know if I'm going to have the ability to have a meal tomorrow. You know, right? For the American, the worry is when we go on our road trip, will our favorite restaurant be open or not, right? That's as far as our worry for food goes. We don't worry about food. Most Americans do not. Most Americans do not worry about clothing, right? We have clothing. We don't worry about what we're going to put on our bodies. But for the people that Jesus is talking to, and in this cultural setting, probably 90% of the people lived in what we would consider poverty. Right? 90% of the people or more lived in a state where they probably had one set of clothing. They probably had one set of shoes. I looked at the closet the other day. I've got golf shoes, baseball shoes, dress shoes, whatever these shoes are. I've got so many different pairs of shoes. It's ridiculous, right? But they would have worried about this was a legitimate thing for them to worry about, what am I going to put on my body? What am I going to eat? These were legitimate worries for them. And so he's speaking to a crowd of people that they probably would go a day or two where they would wonder, what are we going to eat? Where is our next meal going to come from? That is not something that we think about. And so the context of what's going on here is probably hard for us to grab hold of. Leading up to this, he talks about coveting. If you guys, young people, do you know who, coveting. Coveting is to want what somebody else has, right? We have six kids in our house right now, and I watch coveting all the time, right? Well, he has that, and I don't have it. Well, he got that way, right? We went on a trip, and one of our cousins got one of those fidget spinner things. One of the kids' cousins got a fidget spinner thing, and everybody coveted. That thing so bad. How come I don't have a fidget spinner? And so we spent $50 on fidget spinners. I don't know if that was a good use of money or not, but we did it. It kept them busy in the car. But you see, you get what coveting is, right? It's to want what somebody else has. And leading into this, he's saying, don't covet, right? The first verse there, he says, "For this reason, I say to you," because he's talking to them about wanting what somebody else has. He says, don't worry about where you're going to get food. Don't worry about where you're going to get clothes. And for them, that was a legitimate worry. For us, the worries are probably different, right? We worry about our 401k if you're older in the room, and is it going to make it, and are you going to have what it takes, and will the money be there, right? For me, I look at my kids and I go, how on earth am I ever going to put all six of these people through college? And hopefully their grandparents save better than I did or something along those lines, because college is crazy expensive, right? Maybe they'll do really well in school and they'll get really good grades, and then they'll be able to pay for college with a scholarship. Or maybe they'll be crazy athletic and I could live vicarious through them, right? That'd be great too. And then they could get a scholarship that way. But we have these different worries. They're not what these people would have worried about. For the young people in the room, maybe you worry about how you're going to get along with your brother and sister, or maybe you worry about, you know, I don't know. What do you worry about? Kids worry about different things than we do. But we all have these things where we worry. And his point here is, don't worry about your daily needs. You don't have to stress about, is God going to give us what we need in any given situation? And his point there, he goes and he talks about the birds, and he says they don't have storerooms, right? They don't have 401ks, and they don't have big old refrigerators, but they make it by. God gives them what they need, and they have food to eat, and they are cared for, right? So that's his point there, is that we constantly worry about our daily needs, and Jesus tells us not to worry about those, right? In verses 27 through 30 here, we see it says this. Where did we go? Here we are. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon, that's King Solomon, in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? You men of little faith, and do not seek what you will eat or what you will drink, and do not keep worrying for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. So he compares the beauty of God's creation, right? You guys ever gone through a walk? You go through a walk, you know, you go for a hike. I remember when I was a kid, we used to go out to Davis Creek, right? And we'd go out to Davis Creek and we'd walk up the creek and we'd see the pond, and then we'd get to the hillside and we'd go up and there'd be these little flowers up in the mountains, and, you know, you'd see animals and you'd see all these different things, and all of it is just so beautiful, right? And one of the other things I love to do is I love duck hunting. And one of the things that amazes me about these ducks is how different they are and yet how beautiful they are, right? There's these different kinds of birds and they look so beautiful and they're clothed so well by God. And yet their span on this earth is so short. And that's kind of his point here, is look at the fields and the grass with its extremely short lifespan, but think of how beautiful it is. And yet here you are, you're this human being. You're this human being made in God's image, right? That's a cool thing about us, is that God has made us in his image. And he's placed us above creation, and he's called on us to rule over it and use it wisely. That's another part of stewardship, is using what God has given us here on earth wisely. But he's given us this place. And Jesus' point is, if God will take care of things like that, he will very much take care of you. And so he compares the beauty of God's creation with the great wealth of Solomon, right? King Solomon, he was very, very wealthy. The temple was built, and it was basically the height of the kingdom of Israel, so far as it was back then, and how beautiful it was, and everything was in its place, and there was great amounts of wealth and money and gold, and they had it all, and Solomon was the ruler of that. And basically what Jesus says here is that if you compare what God has in nature to the wealth of someone like Solomon, the one who's seen as lacking is Solomon. Right? And the point here is that there's no amount of wealth that could change us being content. There's no amount of stuff, there's no amount of toys, there's no amount of video games, there's no amount of apps on your iPad, there's no amount of those things that you will ever reach that point and go, now I have it all and I'm good, right? And Solomon had it all. He had it all, and he sought wisdom, and in the end, there was great struggle and strife, and he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, and he basically says that all that stuff, all the stuff that you could acquire, it's vanity, it's meaningless, if God's not a part of it. And so he understood that. He had it all and knew it meant nothing apart from God. And one of the great dangers for us, one of the very great dangers, and I see it in my own children, is that we can acquire stuff so easily. We can get stuff so easily, right? And most Americans, we have expendable wealth that we can use as we want to, and we watch our government, and well, they go into debt for it, so I guess we could too. And so maybe we enter into debt or whatever the case may be, but it's so easy for us to get the stuff. It's so easy for us to have the toys, be it toys for a kid or toys for an adult, whether it's a video game system or a really nice set of golf clubs, right? It's so easy for us to get the stuff. And that's one of the great dangers for us, is that we can acquire and acquire and acquire. And maybe we don't worry so much about what we're going to wear or what we're going to eat, but we worry about how we're going to get that next thing that we think is going to make us feel contented, complete. And he calls us not to stress about those things as well. Don't worry about those things. They're never going to bring you completeness anyway. So let go of them.
He goes on here in verse 31 and he says, "But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also." And now Jesus really, really drives home his point, right? To this point, he said, you don't need to worry about your daily needs, to people who really didn't know where their daily needs might be coming from. You don't need to worry about those. Look at how God cares for his creation. So much more will he care for you. You can set those things aside. God's got it. Trust him. Right? And then, so you don't need to worry. Let me make this comparison for you. And then finally he says, but if you will seek his kingdom, if you will seek God's kingdom, all these things will be added to you. So rather than focusing our energy and time on our daily needs, he wants us to focus our energy and time on growing his kingdom. Now this is something that we can't see, right? Because does Jesus physically reign from a throne here on earth right now? Can we go to Jerusalem and go, there's Jesus on the throne? You can't do that right now. There will come a point where you can, and that's going to be awesome. But right now you can't do that. And so God's kingdom is sort of this thing that we can't really grab hold of. And so it's hard to say, what is it for me to use my time on God's kingdom? How do I use my time and energy on something that I can't touch physically? How do I do that? And right? But if we go to the New Testament, if we look at the scriptures, even if we go to the Gospels and we look at what Jesus says, right? He says that he wants us to be fishers of men. He calls us to go out into the world and make disciples. And he says that he'll be with us even to the end of this age. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he lives inside of us, right? And so God wants us to use our time and our energy on relationships where we share Jesus Christ. He wants us to use our time and our energy on something that will never fail and never fade away, and that is the kingdom of God. All the kingdoms of the earth will come and go, but the kingdom of God will last forever. The kingdom that Christ will have, where he will have a new heaven and a new earth, it will last forever. And what God is doing right here, right now, on this earth, what he's doing is he's filling his eternal kingdom with people that love and trust him. And so how do you get into God's eternal kingdom? You respond to the gospel message. You respond to who Jesus is. He comes and he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says that I'll deal with your sin. I'll pay for your sin. I dealt with it on the cross. And I was raised from the dead. And I want you to trust that who I am and what I did saves you from your sin. And if you do that, you're a part of God's kingdom. We may not be able to see it, we may not be able to touch it at this moment, but there are people who are part of God's kingdom filling this room and many others. And so how do we use our time in a way that builds into something that lasts? Well, he says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Basically, what that statement is, to a bunch of poor people who don't really have any possessions, right? Well, you want me to sell? I don't know. I don't own anything, right? Sell your possessions and give to charity. His point to these people who probably have next to nothing is don't spend your time trying to accumulate, which is what we do here, isn't it? We spend our time trying to accumulate. And we want to have the best job where we can make the most money so that we can get the most stuff. And the only problem with that statement is so that we can get the most stuff. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have the most, have the best job so you can make the most money, if what you do with that money is use it for God's kingdom. There's a man in this church who had an opportunity to retire and sell his business. I'll never forget when he said this to me. He said, I had an opportunity to sell my business and retire. He said, but you know what? I realized that if I did that, I would have next to nothing to give. So I'm working. I'm going to continue to work because I want to be able to continue to give to the areas that I give. That was an amazing statement to me. He wasn't so concerned about the American dream of having 25 years of his golden age to RV or whatever it was that you do. I don't know. He wasn't so concerned with that. He was concerned with, I'm going to continue to work so that I can continue to give. And I'm not saying that there's something wrong with RVing. Don't get the wrong point there. But do you see what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to use my time and my energy so that I can continue to build into something that will last forever. a kingdom that will never end. And so I guess what I would tell you young people in the audience, let me have your eyes and your ears if you're young right now. Yeah, young at heart. Don't love possessions. Don't love stuff. Don't fall in love with your video game or your toy. Don't fall in love. Don't seek those things as the most important things, because they'll consume you and you'll end up living for the wrong things. It's okay to have games. It's okay to have toys. It's okay to have those things. But if they're the number one thing on your mind, probably time to get rid of them. Don't love stuff. Love people. That's really, get a hold of that. And I tell my kids this. There are times where they'll be fighting over something, and I'll say, hey, if what you're fighting over is more important than that person, it's time to get rid of that toy. If you're more concerned about having that thing than you are loving your brother or sister, then it's time to get rid of that thing, because that thing has gotten in the way of your relationship, right? And so don't fall in love with stuff. Now, I want to finish with something that may be a little bit over the kids' heads, but I'm going to go for it anyway. I tried to explain this to seniors in high school, and I think some of them got it, so maybe I can bring it down, and everybody can get it, okay? So what Jesus is really talking about here is living for stuff that is temporal. You hear the word temporary in there? Do you guys know what temporary is? Something that doesn't last, right? You have milk, and milk has a shelf life, and it will only last so long. And if you drink it after the shelf life, you don't want to drink it after the shelf life because it tastes bad and it'll make your stomach upset. It's temporary, right? And so he's talking about loving stuff that is temporary and loving stuff that is eternal. So I want you to look at this, right? An eternal perspective. What we value the most is pleasure. I got to go to Disneyland. I got to have the cool toy. I got to do this. I have this, right? We value pleasure. It feels good. An eternal perspective values knowing God. So that means that I could go through something that is completely unpleasurable and love it because God taught me how to know Him in a new way. I could go through something that no one would pick, and I could love it because it would cause me to know God more. When I shared this with the seniors over at Sierra Lutheran, I said, who in here would pick beating leukemia? And no one raised their hand. Right? Nobody says, you know what I want to do for my next vacation? I want to beat cancer. No, we pick some fancy location. But Trent is going through leukemia, and he is learning to go through something that no one would pick, and it's causing him and many others to know God in a completely new way. So from a temporal perspective, we go, I never want that. From an eternal perspective, we go, that's what lasts is my relationship with God, right? That's a money belt that will never, it won't be destroyed. It'll last forever, my relationship with God. From a temporal perspective, we live for the recognition of people. From an eternal perspective, we live for the approval of God. So when you're with your classmates and everybody else is doing this one thing, and you know it's the wrong thing to do, but you know that if you do it, you'll get some recognition from your peers. Anybody have ever been the class clown, right? You do something that is silly so that you can have recognition from others, but you know it's the wrong thing to do. That's when we know we're living for right here, right now, something that won't last. We're living for spoiled milk versus living for the approval of God, something that will never wear out, right? And a temporal perspective lives for popularity. An eternal perspective lives for servanthood. So I want to be the most popular person. I want to have the most attention. I want to have the best job. I want my business card to say CEO, whatever it is for you. That's what I want. And it's not that you can't have those things. God takes many very popular people, and because they don't value their popularity, they value servanthood, He uses that position in amazing ways. There are athletes and different people who have this position where they share God, and instead of being concerned about being popular, they use their position to share something that lasts forever, and they serve others. I think Tim Tebow is a great example of that. If you show your kids videos of the way Tim Tebow handles himself, they'll be better off for watching them. Okay? Wealth and status is what we value from a temporal perspective, integrity and character, right? Has anybody ever known somebody that they wanted money and status so much that they'd do anything to get it? They would set aside what they knew was right. They would set aside their integrity, what they knew the right thing to be, and their character. They'd set it aside so that they could keep going, right? This is something that burns up. That's something that lasts forever. Being conformed to the image of Christ, being conformed to the image of the world, we know which one is better. Temporal perspective says, I want all the power. And eternal perspective says, I want to be humble. And it's not that you can't have a position of power. It's kind of saying the same thing again. It's not that you can't have a position of power, but if you do have it, use it humbly to serve others. Now, what do these things lead to? Temporal perspective leads to emptiness, right? I could have all of these things and still feel completely empty. The interview that I just think of every time when I think of this is Tom Brady was being interviewed a few years ago after he'd won the Super Bowl, and it was like his third or fourth or whatever. And they're like, you have won all these Super Bowls, and you have the multi-million-dollar mansion, and you've got the supermodel wife, and you've got this, and you've got that, and you've got the other thing. And he says, yeah, but I feel like there's still more. He had all the stuff, and he knew that it wasn't it. He was still empty. So this perspective leads to emptiness, delusion. Delusion is believing that something that isn't true is true, right? So being deluded is truly believing that something that is not true is the truth. That's delusion. And so when you live for these things and you truly believe that you're going to find happiness in those, even if you do have it, it's not reality, which is what you get over here. And then the last thing is foolishness. You use your time, as we're talking about tonight, you use your time in a way that, and you build it into things that will not last. It's foolish, okay? Yet, on the other side, the eternal perspective, knowing God, the approval of God, servanthood, integrity and character, humility, when you have these things, you live a life of fulfillment. I do not have what Tom Brady has, but most days when my eyes are focused on these things, I lead a completely fulfilled life. I don't have a big bank account. I don't have a fancy car. I certainly don't have a multi-million dollar mansion. I don't have those things. But I live a fulfilled life when my eyes are focused on God. When I feel a lack of fulfillment, when I feel discontented and unfulfilled or empty, I know that I've been trying to fill myself with the wrong things, right? And I could look at my early days in life when I was a kid and I would play lots and lots of video games. And you never notice the thing about video games is you could never play them enough. You always have to beat one more level or you always have to beat one more game. It never actually makes you feel like, yay, I did it. There's always more, right? And it sucks you in. It's because it could never lead to a place of fulfillment. Okay, but there's fulfillment in this, there's reality in this. This is what God has truly designed us to be. He's truly designed us to be in a relationship where we know Him, where we seek His approval, the way we seek the approval of our Father. We serve others, we live in line with what we know to be true in our character, and we humbly serve. When we live that way, that is the reality of how God has made us. It's not diluted, but it's the real, actual, singular truth of how God has designed us and how He wants us to live. And it causes us to live in wise ways. We will use our time wisely when we seek these things. And I think that's what Jesus is really trying to get across here, is don't worry about the stuff that burns up. Don't worry about the milk that is going to spoil, so to speak. The stuff that you can get and get and get and get, and it will never make it into eternity. But instead of worrying about those things, I want you to be concerned with what I'm concerned with. From God's perspective, I want you to be concerned with knowing me, having my approval. I want you to be concerned with serving others, with living in line with who I've made you to be, and being this humble person that loves and serves others. Be that. Seek the kingdom. Build things that last. Build into something that God's already building that lasts forever. And that's what Jesus is trying to drive home here. So when we talk about stewardship of time, the stewardship, the best use of our time is to build into God's kingdom because it will never, ever end. And He is right now on this earth sharing a message that will cause people to enter into eternity with Him forever, and that will never last. That will never end. It will always last. So let's use our time wisely. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this message here. I don't know about other people in the room, but I'd wager to say that we all have things that we worry about. We worry about the things that are here and now. And very likely there's people in this room who are know what that worry is. It's been weighing on them all week. And You're calling them to set it aside, to entrust it to You. And instead, seek the things that will last. Seek Your kingdom. And so, God, I pray that you would teach us to be wise, wise stewards of the time that you give us, that we would use the time that you give us here on earth wisely. And thank you that you're always with us. As we seek to build into what you are already building, we know that you will do that through us. It's not something for us to come up with on our own. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for caring about us, for clothing us, for feeding us, and for, more importantly, dealing with our sin and giving us an eternity with you. I pray this in Jesus' name.